Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the Valeura Holding Investors Day and Full Year Results 2015 conference call and live webcast. I'm Alice, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Rolando Benedek, Chairman of Valeura Holding. You will now be joined into the conference room.
Welcome. Meine Damen und Herren, wir sind in Webcast. Wir warten schnell eine Minute. Wenn wir sind bereit, wir können gehen. Okay. Thank you. Dear investor, analysts, and media representative, welcome to the presentation of our results from 2015 and our Investor Day 2016. 2015 has been a very intense and successful year for the Valeura Group. We are very pleased with the result, financial, strategic positioning, and development of our initiatives are progressing well. The measures taken have improved our performance and increased our agility. Above all, 2015 has proven the resilience of our business model. Let me summarize the results on the different levels. Financials. We managed to achieve and, in some cases, exceeded the goals we have set for 2015. We were especially able to increase group-level EBIT above expectation and to deliver a very strong cash flow. In the strategy, the only way to survive in our industry is to be agile and to continually innovate. Our strategic foundation has the excellent store network and the vertical integration. The initiatives to capitalize on this are well underway, and we will show that today. In operation, our operation in Switzerland, Germany, Nabil, and Ditch, especially on the wholesale side, was strong performer in 2015. More can be expected. What is our focus? For Valeura, 2015 marked the last major milestone in its path towards focusing on retail. Over the last 3 years, we have taken one successful step after the other. The acquisition of Bretzel-König, the sale of the service divisions, the takeover of Nabil, and then last year, the sale of the B2B division. We are extremely proud that Valeura is now able to definitely enter in a new era. All in all, a good 2015 and more to come in 2016. Here, I would like to hand over to Michael, the CEO of Valeura. He will give you a short overview of the day. Thank you very much.
Very much, Rolando. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Also from my side, my name Michael Müller. I'm the CEO of the group. I'm very delighted that you made it this morning here to Oerlikon, despite the difficult road conditions. I'm very glad to quickly talk you through our today's program. As you know, we have in the first part, we will present the financial results 2015 to you. This will be mainly covered by Tobias Knechtle, our CFO. Then in the second part of the day, we will spend quite some time with you for presenting our group strategy along the main business areas and also spend extensive time or allocate extensive time to Q&As so that we have the chance to interact, answer open questions. Thank you very much also that most of you will stay for that part, for the Investor Day. We are perfectly aware that there are other companies presenting today, so we are very delighted that you come to our Investor Day today and spend the time with us. What we're going to cover before Tobias starts his presentation on the financial results is basically the group strategy along three lines. We spend only one chart on the past, so what we have achieved in terms of strategic progress, and then we'll focus on our future in terms of what are the business areas we're going to focus on, how are our networks performing currently, and what we plan to the future, and spend then quite some time on the ambition that we set in terms of the guidance and the strategic building blocks behind that guidance. I would also like to welcome my colleagues from the management team here this morning. We will have Thomas Eisele presenting later during the Investor Day the strategy on this Pretzel König, and Peter Oberdobel, our head Germany, will cover the retail Germany part and the progress we made there and the plans that lie ahead of us. On that note, I would like to hand over Tobias, and thank you very much for you coming here to Oerlikon, to this wonderful industrial location that we have chosen this time.
Morning as well from my side, ladies and gentlemen. The most difficult part of the day is already behind us. You find the way to Oerlikon. It was not easy, especially I was glad to come in time. I'll start with a brief overview of the key metrics. Before going into details of the P&L, of the balance sheet, simply highlighting the main figures of last year. And I think overall was a successful, a good year, a year that shows the path going forward. And as we'll show during the course of the day, there's more to come as well. We start with, I think, one of the biggest highlights is the free cash flow. We generated 24 francs 50 free cash flow per share. That is twice the dividend that was earned in terms of cash flow, and a significant increase compared to last year. ROCE will be my next slide. It's our most important metrics internally. It's how we measure if we are on the right path. We managed to improve ROCE by one entire percentage point from one year to the other. The ones which are familiar with that know that that is a big step to achieve. And if we look then further down to the individual areas, we see that progress has been even larger in certain instances. Most importantly, with the levels we achieved here, we are creating value for our shareholders. It's not yet there where we want to be, but it shows that we're on the right course to achieve the minimum target of 8%. Earnings per share, definitely very important. There was lots of question over the past year whether we're able to earn the dividend, whether we can afford to pay such a dividend. This year, we already earned the dividend, and if you believe in our guidance, you know that that will also be the case going forward. And finally, EBIT, which is a bit the basis for all that, we have an increase of 27% if I compare with the last year in constant currency and adjusting for the impairment of last year. That is as well a remarkable improvement compared to last year. And of course, if I look at the stated figures, the result is even better. So all in all, I think good progress. And I'd like to show now in the course of the couple of minutes I'll spend with you how that was achieved. As announced, starting with ROCE, our most important matrix, let me quickly summarize simply the basis. ROCE, you're all familiar with that, is the EBIT compared to the capital employed used. The cash, and that is the important notice here, is only allocated on group level. That means that the figures you see on the division side are without the cash. That's why they're, of course, higher. So here it's not the absolute level which is important, but the development from one year to the other, while the absolute level is indeed relevant at the group level. Starting with that group, we have, as already said, an improvement from 1 percentage point to 6.1%. At that level, we are creating value. Compared really in reported figures last year due to the impairment, we were at 3.3%. So we see there has really been a big improvement. Most important here as well is we confirmed the guidance. We said last year we plan to achieve 8% by 2016, latest to 2017, and I reconfirmed this today. We hope to achieve it this year. It depends always on bits and pieces, but later 2017, that goal will be achieved. achieved. Especially if I look at the adjusted figures. On the adjusted one, we are already at 6.9. What we have excluded between the 6.1 and the 6.9, you can read in detail in the financial commentary. Most notably, these are three things. It's the startup costs for Bob, our financial services on the credit area. It's the last restructurings in Germany, and it's on the inventory side, and it's the restructuring and integration of Nabil. These three points are the only ones that we excluded to get to the 6.9%. And from here, you can see it is still a step to 8%, but it definitely is feasible. Looking at the divisions and starting with Deutsche Brezelkönig, we have a slight decrease of 0.4 percentage points to 7.1%. That is due to the decline, slight decline on the EBIT side, which we'll show in more details in the on the coming slides. Retail has a marked improvement. Even if I exclude the impairment in Germany of last year, we get to 9.9%. If I adjust for the one-offs that I mentioned before, the restructuring and the impairment, not the impairment, the one-off adjustment in Germany due to old press inventory, we get to 11%. Nabil, the acquisition we completed end of February last year, marks more or less the first anniversary today, definitely helped. Despite the acquisition cost, the goodwill and all that goes with it, has achieved 11.8%, and this on a stated level, that means including the burden it has from the group, of course, and the restructuring cost that Nabil has borne last year. Retail Germany and Retail Switzerland both had impressive growth as well. Both increased by 2 percentage points. That is something to let settle. 2 percentage point increase in ROCE from one year to the other, that is quite a significant step forward. So with all that, I think ROCE shows we are on the right track. Not yet where we want to be, but definitely we laid the basis for that future growth in the last year. And now we'll move to the entire P&L, as usual, starting with net revenues, going down to the EBIT, and then we'll lead you through the balance sheet. Net revenues is indeed not the most relevant figure for us. I've also read in one or the other comment that, you know, we were slightly below estimate. But if there's one message, you know, one of the message you should keep today is that net revenue is important, of course, but is not the way to measure our success. There's so many factors influencing it, be it operating model, the changes from own to franchise, being promotional activities from, let's say, the tobacco firms, which lead to marked decline in revenue but has no impact on gross profit. That is, of course, relevant in our daily measure, but it falsifies the view on the bottom line. Nevertheless, let me go through that point. We had an increase of over 12% year-on-year in local currency. That is, of course, also driven by the integration of Nabil for 10 months. But that integration actually masks all the development that we're below, and that's what I'd like to show in the next couple of minutes. Starting with Switzerland, that's our still biggest contributor to revenue. We're down 59 million year on year. That is mostly due to 31 stores that we closed. As you will remember, the ones that followed us a bit longer, we have started, initiated a strategy a couple of years ago to try to concentrate our network on higher frequency, on higher profitability locations. That is never coming to an end, but last year still marked an important step. 31 outlets net were closed last year, and that has here definitely the biggest impact. Switzerland also has been marked by what I just mentioned before, tobacco. We had tobacco decline of 2.8% in same store. really due to the promotional activities. There's been very strong competition among the tobacco firms, which sold their tobacco at a lower level. As we record, of course, the sales, that has a big impact, especially if you think of all the taxes that come on top, that has a big impact on our top line. But of course, you know, we've also been impacted in Switzerland by the strong Swiss franc, the decision of the National Bank, still the trends continuing we had from the past, digitalization on press, shopping tourism, etc. And that had overall a decline of the same store of 3.6% as a consequence. Press, as one element still to mention, has been down 10%, which is roughly the level that we expected. Navil, coming back with 240 Swiss franc, is pretty much exactly where we expected it to be. Again, reminding that is for 10 months. It's split in 180, let me look at the exact figure, 186 million in retail, and the reminder coming from the third party turnover we make with the distribution side. Coming then to Germany, Luxembourg, that is definitely one of the very positive news. We had a local currency growth of 7.2%. That 7.2% consists of two main drivers. One, the same store growth. We achieved the same store growth of 3%. And I just talked to Peter before, and he confirmed what I've already seen in our weekly and daily turnover alerts. That trend continues. We managed to have very positive same-store development. Michael and Peter will show in the next phase as well. All the actions we started, things we've taken over from Switzerland, really start working in Germany, and we're bearing only the very first fruits of that last year. Ditch Brezelkönig had a growth of 5.4% to 212 million last year. That is mostly stemming from the B2B side. Again, despite having had that in the year before and the year before, we had again a double-digit growth in the B2B side. Our distribution or home side, we have been using various names in the past. Our B2B distribution side had again a stellar growth last year. And as we'll see later on, also at very attractive, with attractive results. We also had in total a net openings of 15 POS, of which 5 come from our start of the internationalization. We said last year we lay the basis to go international. Thomas will show more of that in his speech in the afternoon, but we think we really laid the ground to bring Brezelkönig, which you can enjoy on a daily basis as well, to all the other poor people. We do not have that luck in this world. Same store Germany was slightly negative, 0.4 percentage point year on year. If I exclude strikes, you remember we had the worst strikes in Germany on the railway side in the first half year. If I exclude only this, we already get to a positive same store of 0.4 percentage point for the full year. And if I look only at the second half of the year, despite the very hot summer, which is not exactly pretzel weather like today, we had 1.5 percentage point same store growth. And here as well, the first signs in January, February are promising. Switzerland is, I guess, the most difficult part I have to present today. We are down at, so we had an index of 93.9 in Brezelkönig, Switzerland, in same store. That, of course, has been the difficult year on due to all the things I mentioned in the introduction. That has been, in total turnover, slightly compensated by more store openings, so that the overall decline here is merely at 3%. Let's come now to GP. And for the ones who have already read through all that, you will have seen that GP will be one of the measures we are guiding going forward. So we believe that GP, even though still affected by some changes will be one of the elements we want to promote more strongly again towards the public in the coming years. And that has one reason, is that we believe in growth. We believe that after what we've done so far, we set the stage for growing, and therefore we should not be shy to show as well that we can be measured on the GP side. We've grown 13% last year. A big part of that comes, of course, from the Nabil integration, 95 million for 10 months. The gross profit margin here with the 39.4% is positively impacted by the distribution part, which has even more favorable economics than the retail part. Switzerland, again, one of the good news of last year, we managed to increase the gross profit margin by 0.7 percentage point to 37%. Again, that's not yet where we expected to be, but it shows that as well here on that side, we laid the ground for future growth. That is coming from more promotions on one side. On the other side as well, from less waste, less shrinkage, so operational measures relate, and from better purchasing. And in all of that, we also believe there's further potential coming. The decline in itself here, that 2.7%, comes essentially, of course, from the turnover decline. And I remind the turnover decline comes from the POS we choose to close. That effect, I can tell you, has a positive effect on the bottom line. We'll see that in the cost. Not the main driver, by far not, but that closures and that conscious reduction of the GP had a positive effect on the EBIT side. Germany, plus 2.5 percentage growth in local currency. That is plus 4 million, driven by turnover here as well, as you'd expect, but also through higher promotional income. And that despite Germany being burdened by the cleanup of press inventories in the first half year. Maybe that's a moment as well to spend just 1 minute on the way we show. I mean, we heard your feedback. You said, you know, comparing adjusted to adjusted is complicated, so we changed that. You have stated figures on here. We show the above here, the development stated, but in local currency, except for the impairment in Germany last year, which would have had such a large effect that it would not be comparable. But all in all, stated figures, and where meaningful, we show them on the right-hand side lines, like I did on the ROCE, adjusted figures for the year. Ditch Brezelkönig at plus 6.7%, coming to 160 million. Slightly rounded up. That is driven by the higher turnover and a higher margin. A higher margin is not really meaningful in Ditch Brezelkönig. What you essentially have in there is raw material, but nevertheless, you know, it shows that we managed to have a slightly more interesting mix, at least on that level. And so the improvement of the gross profit margin to 75.5 absolutely leads into the right direction. From here, coming to the cost. 2015, of course, has been a cost year for various reasons. First of all, the acquisition of Nabil needs to be integrated. We need to reap the synergies out of that. That's the first reason. The second one is we have taken that opportunity to review as well our internal structure, and we expanded that restructuring reorganization to all of Retail Switzerland and corporate. So focus has been there on the cost to start with, and we'll start to see the effects as promised in the first half of this year with a slight impact, positive impact already last year. And the third effect, of course, overall was the National Bank decision with all that money evaporating in a fraction of a second. Of course, focus needs to be on cost, and that's what we've done overall. We have an increase of 12% year on year. That's 85 million. these 85 million come almost exclusively from Nabil with 84 million. Again, I remind that is burdened by restructuring costs and group costs, so the pure figure, continuous standalone figure of Nabil would be better than that. Switzerland has an improvement by 16 million year on year, again driven by POS closure, but as well burdened by the impairment in Austria, where the small impairment of 1 million, restructuring costs of just below 2 million for the restructuring mentioned, and then we see first effect of the restructuring as well, so positive effect that compensates some of the costs I just mentioned here. Germany, that is a remarkable figure. You remember what I said before, we have more turnover, also more own POS, and despite that, Germany, where are you in local currency, is exactly on last year's level. That is especially remarkable because Germany had the introduction of the minimum wage, as we'll also see with the Spritzelkönig, because we have more own POS, which means that the personnel cost is on our balance sheet instead of being on the franchise's balance sheet, and overall more turnover, which through higher rent leads to higher costs as well. So there, good management of the cost side to keep at that level, and as a consequence, the cost ratio has improved by 2.3 percentage points to 32.1%. Ditch Brezelkönig had an increase by almost 10% year on year, driven by most of all the increase in the production. Producing more, of course, means more people at the line, even though it's highly automated, but that is the main driver here. Other drivers were the minimal wage introduction here as well, in Germany mostly, and initial cost for the for the internationalization. We led the ground. We have a team that is preparing the internationalization of Ditch Brezelkönig, and that is reflected in these costs. Under other, which is corporate and other initiatives, you see an increase by 4 million. That is mostly the launch of BOP in the first half, which we show as one-off when we look at the result, and then the running cost of BOP in the second half of the year, which accounts for a bit more than that. Overall corporate cost has also been slightly reduced. 2016 should show more of that, more positive trends, for two reasons. One is one-off costs are expected to be reduced further. No restructuring, less startup costs, etc. And of course, the results from all this restructuring and the continuous effort we have on the cost side will materialize this year, having here a positive impact. So putting GM and cost together, you get to EBIT on the next slide. And here, definitely a very positive news. 55 million EBIT in full year last year. And that's a good margin. We have 2.7% EBIT margin achieved. We'll see later that is not yet where we want to be, but we make a big step towards our midterm goal. We have an increase of 27% in local currency, and adjusting in the previous year for that impairment in Germany. Without that, the increase would have been more marked even. So a very positive increase of 27% overall in the group. Going through the various divisions, Switzerland, an increase of 21%. That comes, if I really look, summarizing all that we said before, comes from the margin improvement, promotions, waste, shrinkage. These are the biggest drivers for that. Then the cost measures we initiated. And lastly, as well, the POS closures. In this sequence, these are the three main drivers. There's some other ones which influence it as well in a positive manner. Switzerland has been most penalized by the change in showing the figures, you know, not showing the one-offs. We had to have more one-offs this year in Switzerland than last year, also because last year we chose Panini as a positive effect. If I would take out the one-offs this year, we get to 23.5 million EBIT this year, and that is a 2% EBIT margin. Again, compared to last year, compared to the half-year figures, a big step forward. Again, not where we want to be, but I think it shows the path on which we are. Naville, 10.6 million EBIT achieved. I think that is exactly what we expected. It fulfills our expectations, really shows that is a good acquisition, not only on the figure side, but as well on the soft side, as we mentioned in summer. So a good result. These 10.6 burden, I remember, by the restructuring cost, and it's only for 10 months. Germany, we promised at the beginning of the year that Germany will stabilize this year. I think we've shown that. We walked the talk. We have 12 million coming out of Germany here compared to the 7 million effect of last year that was triggered, of course, by the impairment. But even if I take it in local currency and exclude that impairment, we have a growth of 3.7 million year on year. That is a 45% growth. Again, as said, we started well into the year. We have some effects that will come into play. So Germany definitely is now stabilized and has returned to path for growth. Ditch Brezelkönig, 27 million contribution over here. That is in local currency a decline of just below 2 million. Main reason for that are Brezelkönig turnover, which has been reduced as explained, the minimum wages introduction in Germany, the railway strike in Germany, and the startup cost by Brezelkönig International during the entire year. If I look at H2, we are on a much better slope. Again, we have an increase of 0.7 million EBIT year on year. And that shows what we said in summer as well. We believe that H1 has been heavily impacted by special factors. If I look at H2 and if I look at the first month of this year, we see that indeed that was a small resetting, but we're back on the trajectory for growth. If I put all that together with the one-offs I now mentioned, we get to 62.2 million. I think that is a very good figure, especially because that brings us to a 3% margin. So we're on the right way. 3% margin, as you'll see later on, is not at the end of our ambition. We want to go to 4% in the midterm future, but we set the path year on year to get to that level. This year, that page is almost as interesting as the one which is above EBIT. That's the net result from EBIT downwards to the net result and the many effects which influence that page. Starting with the financing activities, now it looks like we're exactly on the same level. However, that has been heavily impacted by the decision of the Swiss National Bank, where our cash value in euro and other currency, 20% evaporated, which is reflected here. But that could be all compensated by lower financing costs and some one-off financing costs in the previous year. So we stay at the same level. Income tax. Income tax has been a contributor. It's not a sign missing, but we had a positive tax income last year of 9 million. Obviously, that comes from deferred tax and is not some gimmicks, but we, with the acquisition of Naville, with the improvement of the operation in Switzerland, we have the capacity to activate more tax assets, which led to that income. So better tax assets due to the improved outlook for the future. With all that, the net profit from continuing operations tripled to 47 million. And basically, as of this year, I can then almost stop here. Here, however, we still have the net result from discontinued operations, minus 75 million, leading to the group net result of minus 28 million. It is exactly what we presented in November when we announced the transaction. So there has been no surprises. That is exactly the level that we elaborated and shown at the time. I think there are two points I would like to only mention today with Valora Trade. One is releasing or selling that business had a very positive impact on our cash. By year end, we released almost 60 million, 60 from trade that is now available to the group for other operations, for deleveraging, etc. So we released the cash. We always said, you know, it's a cash intensive business. I think that shows it. We will have a purchase price adjustment, as you can see in the annual report, roughly 7 million. But even after that, 50 million of cash has been released. That is the first fact. The second one is, if I look at trade last year on the EBIT contribution they had, we had 1 million coming from that overall. So if I put the price we have, even discounting for earnout, which we believe, but still discounting that is a very good multiple. That has been very intense for us last year, but we made the right decision here, and we brought it until the 31st of December, midnight, finally towards an end. We're now clear, we're focused. That's the reason we have an investor day today to present the clean Valora and our strategy forward. Coming to the balance sheet, really has been rocked last year. The three main effects, which would be difficult to separate exactly, first of all, FX impact, second, acquisition of Naville, third one, the consolidation of trade. All that had a big impact, so that overall the balance sheet has been shortened by roughly 200 million to 1.2 billion. That is mainly due to the deconsolidation of trade and FX impact. Naville slightly compensated at the FX impact and influences mostly three positions, that is goodwill, net working capital, and the net debt side. Net working capital, an increase of 11 million. Naville has 14 million that was brought. So overall, we had a further improvement on the net working capital side if I look at the continuous business, which is as well a very good result. Net debt is at 251 million. We have a leverage ratio of 2.1 here. And the equity cover is at 41.5%. If you believe, as I do, in our projections for last year, you will see, or for next year, you will see that further deleveraging is expected, first of all, because of the EBITDA trend that we have, and on the other side as well, because we'll sell Naville Distribution, as announced, and we're also in the process for monetizing the building of Naville in Geneva. So further deleveraging and improvement of the ratios expected for next year. We thought it's also the right moment to show a bit more on our capital side on the next slide. On one side, liquidity, and on the other side, our maturity profile on the debt side. Two takeaways. First of all, on the liquidity side, we are very sound with large reserve. Even taking out the block cash, we have available cash on hand of 83 million. We then have unused credit facility for 200 million. So we have a liquidity reserve of 283 million at hand. On the right hand side, the debt profile without entering into details. The key takeaways here are, first of all, it's a well-balanced set of instruments and currencies. The second one is there's no refinancing that is needed in the next 2 years. We have the straight bond and the hybrid, which will refinance in 2018. And as already said, we plan to repay the hybrid by cash mostly. And as the CFA, the credit facility agreement, is not used, in, if worse would come to worse, there's still the possibility of using part of that to replace the straight bond. Not our plan, but it shows actually with our projection, we are under no stress at least until 2019. Another slide we introduced this year is the CapEx slide. I know some of you are modeling as well and want to understand better. That was our goal this year with the guidance, with the information we give you to give you better tools to model Valora, the new Valora. So that's why we split capital expenditure in a bit more detail than what we used to do. We have we've spent a total of $45 million last year, coming from $26 million retail, $13 million Digi Rätsel König 7 corporate, which is mostly IT. That is a decline of $12 million below previous year, which of course has a positive impact on cash flow and on ROCE. However, and that is important, we're not starving the business. Wherever we have good opportunities, we do invest, and we expect here as well to have good opportunities in the future. In order to have some more granularity, we've split it for the first time in maintenance capex on one side and in innovation and expansion on the other side. Last year, we had $19 million in maintenance capex. That is admittedly relatively low. We expect over the cycle rather to have roughly $25 to $30 million of maintenance capex. But remarkable is that last year we spent 60% of our capex on innovation and expansion. And over the cycle, we expect that to be always above 50%. So what is in innovation and expansion? It's, of course, greenfield. It's investment in the production to increase the output. It's new businesses like Bob Finance, our loyalty apps, etc., and it's as well refurbishment, which are not triggered by the landlords but by ourselves, so we expect to have higher returns in compensation. So really all that is wanted by us, and that we can adjust upwards or downwards. So I think here an attractive split, and it shows as well we have, of course, maintenance capex, but we have the means and we are investing in the future to lay the basis for that GP growth we are expecting. What we're also introducing today on a very briefly, but we'll show more of that going forward, is box economics. We've told you last year we'll want to behave more as a retailer. That's what we're doing. We've shown started showing same store. We're now introducing box economics on our retail side. Box economics is a bit like ROCE, but on a store level. So what we're taking here is cash flow approximation from our network without IT, without overhead, and I'm comparing that to the capital employed by the network. So that is, of course, the infrastructure, the networking capital, and it's the cash. What you're seeing is that the payback we get on our network, if I use these metrics on the retail side, and that is valid for both Germany and Switzerland roughly, is around 3 years. On the food service side, we even have 2 years. Important is to know that that is the level of our current network. With the focus we've laid on the investment process of being more selective on where we go, but spending the money where we believe we have the returns, these metrics still have potential upward, as you would see if you only look at 2015 figures. So with that, I slowly but surely come to an end. The last real content slide of that part is the cash flow. It's the last one because here all comes together. It comes together, first of all, with a strong EBITDA, which has grown 218 million. Then comes together because of net working capital and current asset improvement, which here contributes 20 million. That is, of course, not repeatable on a yearly basis, but it shows the effort we've done. So here, a very positive one-time effect in 2015. That leads to cash flow from operations of 125.5 million. Below, cash flow from investment activities is the cash outflow of the CapEx, and then a small asset disposal that was one of the last buildings we still had, which we sold last year, which also led to a cash inflow. That then brings us to 82.3 million cash flow for last year, or twice the dividend that has been earned here. Summarizing, prior to handing over to Rolando Benedic, our achievement, I think we're on a good path of transformation and our operational measures are well on track. Switzerland, higher gross margin, strict cost management, and the network optimization are showing first results, more to come. Naville integration is on track. We again confirm the synergies that we expect, and it's proven as a good business as both units, distribution and retail, are performing well. Germany, stabilized, like-for-like growth positive, returning to growth, so with a good bottom line momentum as well. Ditch Brezelkönig, strong B2B distribution business. We initiated the international expansion. Retail has been subject to, has been quite rock last year, but as I've shown, I hope to have shown, we return to growth in the second half of the year. Cost, focus of last year, we have an agile organization, always more. We reduce the complexity, which is very important. Simplify was one of the key words, and which includes startup costs for digital services and the new businesses. And finally, where it all comes together, ROCE and free cash flow, ROCE plus 1% growth to 6.1%, 6.9% even adjusted, creating value for all stakeholders, and a strong free cash flow at 82 million, which is the final note on which I now would like to hand over for Rolando. Benedic, not yet. Thank you, Michael. I was longing for a sip of water, but then I'll wait another minute. No, of course. Guidance. How could I? I have it already here, but I'm talking too much. I'll drink while you speak then. We confirmed the guidance. That part I really can make it short. We said last year we'll have 65 to 70 million EBIT in 2016. We reconfirmed it in fall. I reconfirm it today. And that is despite the general consumer sentiment in Switzerland, which is definitely worse overall than what anybody would have expected at the time. And despite deconsolidating Naville Distribution at some point in the year, so when we sell it, you know, we had that a couple of times in the past where we sold something, we adjusted the guidance. That will not happen. That was not taken into consideration last year as we did not yet have decided. But today we can say we maintained the guidance even though we'll sell at some point in time in the year Naville Distribution. On the right-hand side, our midterm targets, we, as said, we try to give some tools for you to operate. That is on one side gross profit and on the other side EBIT margin. On the gross profit side, an important takeaway is we are believing in growth at Valora. We show 1 to 3% of gross profit growth per year over the coming years, stemming even more detail here, Switzerland relatively flat, Germany 2 to 4% growth per year, food service 5 to 7% growth. And maybe worth mentioning here, we shifted Café Spettacolo to Ditch Brezelkönig because these are really the same kind of businesses. is fresh food, etc. So that is putting together what belongs together. Gross profit should increase from the 40.7 to 42% earliest 2018. That is mostly important for the ones who want to model the net revenue. And the EBIT margin increases to 4%, or we guide a 4% EBIT margin earliest again 2018. So ambitious but realistic guidance that we're setting both for this year and for the coming years, but we're very confident that these ones are achievable and that we're on the right path to achieve them. Many thanks, and now I definitely want to hand over to Rolando Benedict. Many thanks.
Thank you, Tobias. Let me come to some relevant topics of our annual General Assembly meeting that will take on the 14th of April in Basel. At first, based on the good result and the outlook, we suggest an unchanged dividend of 12.50 per share. 425 francs will be distributed from the reserve and are not subject to withholding tax. We suggest to reintroduce an unauthorized capital increase from 250,000 shares, as we used to have until last year. This enables the company to realize investment and acquisition opportunities swiftly on to conduct share capital increases to further optimize the capital structures. Finally, all the board members are standing for re-election. Many thanks to Michael and Tobias, but especially in this first part to Tobias. And we are ready for Q&A. Please, gentlemen and ladies, we are here to answer all the questions that you have to do.
No question in the room, so maybe we have a question on the way out. Sorry.
Von Najefi, Sie haben von einem größeren Konkurrenzdruck für Pretzelkönig in der Schweiz gesprochen. Woher kommt diese Konkurrenz?
But just quickly translate the question for the people.
I'm sorry, I could have had the question in English. You have spoken of a more intensive competition in Switzerland for Pretzelkönig. From where does it come, this competition?
Yeah, multiple factors. But what we saw last year is definitely an increase in space that mainly at high-frequency locations with our main partners, SPD, has been allocated to food retailers. So we see an increase in food offerings at these locations, and therefore more competition has been created. So it's not a direct pretzel competition, but rather a food offering competition. Secondly, as Tobias has said earlier in his presentation quite clearly, the market environment last year in Switzerland has been impacted also by decisions the National Bank has taken on 15th of January. So we saw a slowdown in the consumer environment. There was another question, Christian.
Yes, hello, Christian Weitz, Baader Bank. You were talking about a positive tax effect from Nabil. Can you elaborate on that and give us an order of magnitude of this positive impact first? And second, can you help us with a tax run rate for 2016 and 17? And then you mentioned a 5.4 million positive impact on the cash flow coming from real estate. What was that?
I'll start with the last one. We started selling already buildings a long time ago, as you know. There was still one larger building in that was a real estate in Interlaken, where we also had one of our shops in there. We sold that in the second half of the year. Coming to tax, the positive effect of Naville, among others, but it's also the better outlook in general from the core Swiss business. We, for the ones which know us for a very, very long time, we had losses through divestments we did in the past. It was especially the Fotolabo divestment that created some tax assets. I can explain more in detail later on, which you only can activate, or you only can activate the potential tax assets depending on your outlook. The outlook in general profit that we expect to make in Switzerland has improved through the better outlook in general and through the acquisition, so we can use more of these tax losses going forward, which then leads to the tax activation we have here. Going forward, it really depends, of course, on the deferred tax. On the cash out side, we expect roughly same level as today, probably slight increase, especially due to Germany. Germany, as you will be familiar, has minimum tax spending, and with the improved, even though we also have tax losses there, with the improved operations in Germany, both retail and Deutsche Brezelkönig, the minimum taxes as well will increase. So deferred taxes, too early to say, depending really on your plan, then the tax outflow cash-wise rather on the tendency higher over the coming years. It's we merged Naville into Valora Switzerland, so it's one legal entity, and therefore we benefit from the profit from Naville in Valora Switzerland.
Yes, please, Werner.
Switzerland is 37% retail, and Germany 34.7%. Operations, or is it the structural difference?
So, you're right. So the question maybe also for the webcast is whether where the differences in gross margin between the various business come from. So you're absolutely right. Naville, very well-run business. We always said, you know, in the tendency we can learn from them. So on the retail side, they definitely will contribute to the overall retail Switzerland side. But we're catching up fast, as you've seen. But the distribution side is positive. Switzerland and Germany indeed have structural differences. Switzerland, we have either owned shops or agencies, which in terms of economics, pure economics on the GP side, are the same. Germany, we have a mix of franchise, we have owned shops, and partially as well agencies. That has a structural impact. But most of all, last year has been burdened as well by the one-off costs I mentioned, the inventory write-downs we had in the first half of the year. You would need to adjust for that as well in order to have a basis for comparison.
Yes, please.
Could you give us an indication how much do you expect to bring down the net debt in 2016? And another question, is there a special reason why the whole management has sold almost all shares in last year?
Yeah, we're absolute liars. We try to sell the company and are selling. but you realized. So what could be the excuse? No, there was one plan, an incentive plan, the so-called long-term plan, LTP, which you find described in our annual report. That program, without going into the details, there were shares lent to us, but which did not belong to us officially. So they were issued to a credit. These shares at the end of the program, which was always heavily criticized by ISS, ETOS, etc., this program elapsed in October and has been replaced by the share purchase plan. Participation plan, excuse me, and that's what is the decline. No, we believe in the company, and you will see that the share now is increasing as well over the last part. On the contrary, I would say that our incentivation going forward is extremely biased towards share. So we definitely believe in the company. For technical reason here.
But was no decision taken by the management to sell these shares. It was automatically executed.
Coming to the net debt, we're not giving a guidance here. I think we gave a lot of instruments in order to calculate that with the CapEx, with the gross profit margin. There are two things to keep in mind when you calculate this. One is distribution, Nabil distribution sale. And the second one is the sale of the building that will have a positive cash inflow, which will contribute to the deleveraging.
Sorry, but you just mentioned your incentive plan, and of course now we want to know what is this incentive plan geared to.
New incentive plan. Well, as Tobia said, we had in the past already with our LTP long-term program already a plan in place that was heavily geared to the share price development, right? With a very long-term incentive rolling four-year plan. As Tobias also mentioned, it was debated whether the structure of that plan as such is actually appropriate. And you see some of the effects of the expiration of that plan, one, in the shareholding of the management, but also, two, on some of the tax effects we had upon the expiration of the plan. So we decided to introduce a new plan, as we have done for the board of directors already a year before. We decided to introduce a new plan. This plan has been approved last year by the shareholder, and substantially the plan as such is again incentivizing on the long-term end, but also on the short-term bonus, the management very much along the share price development. So shares are directly allocated to the management, but not in a geared structure or leverage structure as we had it before. So it's more a one-to-one relationship. The value you get in the long-term plan is allocated in shares. You'll find the details on this one also in our compensation report. Nothing has changed. The shareholders approved that plan already in the last General Assembly. Do we have questions from the webcast? Nope. More questions here in the room? For the moment, otherwise...
Time for coffee outside, I think.
Otherwise, yeah. It's probably time for coffee. Thank you very much, specifically for the attendance of the webcast. As we are closing the webcast now...
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.